Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Luke 19, verse 28. If you're all there, say a big amen. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going to Jerusalem. He approached Bethpage and Bethany, the hill called the Mount of Olives. He sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there. No one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead found it just as he had told them, and as they were untying the colt, the owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus. They threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. As they went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to joyfully praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And they said, "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." And as he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. And the days will come upon you when your enemies build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. And they will dash you to the ground, you and your children within your walls. I will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." New King James says, "You did not know or recognize the time of visitation of God's coming to you." Let's pray. Father, thank you. Move in great power right now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We do have notes for you. There are special times in God. We just had one. And you can miss them. And I'll just tell you, in leadership, in spirit-filled church leadership, you have to be aware of that. Let me just say, in full gospel leadership, in your life as a father, as a son, as a mother, as a daughter, there's times that come in the spirit, and if you're not aware of them, you can miss them. And I do not know all that happened just in the first part of our service now, but it was a complete interruption to everything we had planned. Granted, we were going to receive communion, but it was at the front side, and I didn't expect to be completely overwhelmed by the power of the Holy Spirit. But you can do it again anytime you want to, Lord. Sometimes we like to be so dignified. You know, it's not dignified, organized, streamlined services that get people free. What gets people free is the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Word. Where the Spirit of God is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom and there's liberty. And so thankful for that this morning. There are special times in God, and you can miss them. See, you could have quenched that, could have shut that down. Maybe the cancer no longer exists because we took a moment right there. You don't know. We don't know what happens entirely in those moments. And there are moments in history that come. Kairos is a Greek word. There's five Greek words for time. Kairos is one of them. Chronos is another. Chronos is time in succession. Kairos is where time and destiny cross. And this is one of those specific times. In Galatians chapter 4, it says, "But when the time had fully come," another version says, "and in the fullness of time, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law," verse 5 of Galatians 4, "to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption into sonship." In the fullness of time, Jesus was sent born of a virgin, fully God, fully man, before creation, he was God, came into the earth, into time and space at the exact time. It wasn't a random choosing. It was the exact moment or the fullness of time. And so there's these profound moments in history that come, and they're full of significance and meaning, and they're full of opportunity. And you see this visitation. You did not know the day of your visitation. Turn to Zechariah chapter 9. When Jesus said you did not know the day, this day, he says in the text, he's talking about a specific day, and there's much exegetical exercise and debate about what I'm going to share with you. But when you look at the Greek, he's talking about a specific day. And over the years, I've taught this to you because it's so profound to me that when you look at Scripture, Zechariah 9, put your finger in there if you want to hold that place. Go to Daniel chapter 9, the 70 weeks of Daniel. I've had people, well-meaning and ignorant, say that the Word of God is just written by man. There is no way that man could organize, move nations, change times and seasons, and bring about the fulfillment of Daniel chapter 9, verse 25 and 26, the 70 weeks. There's no way that mankind could ever create them. There's no way. He said, well, it was written after. No, it wasn't. Genius. Because we have the Dead Sea Scrolls, and we have our methods of dating. And they're as accurate as we currently have. And I think there's new things that are coming out for understanding ancient dates. But we have the Dead Sea Scrolls that predate the birth of Christ. The Dead Sea Scrolls predate the birth of Christ. And there's the book of Daniel is in there, and so many other scriptures. It's kind of amazing. It was found by accident of some kid playing with rocks or something, heard the smashing of pottery and happened to discover all of these ancient documents preserved. And so we have the actual book of Daniel predating the birth of Christ. So when you see Daniel chapter 9 and Zechariah 6, let's look at that real quick. Zechariah 9 says, rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion, shout, daughter of Jerusalem, see your king. Your who? Your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly, and riding on a donkey, the colt and the foal of a donkey. When Jesus rides in on that donkey, it was prophetic fulfillment of Zechariah 9. Now, you could maybe dismiss that. He gets a word of knowledge. There's a donkey. Go and get it. The Lord has need of it. But this 70 weeks of Daniel, and again, there's a lot of exegetical exercise and debate. But let me read it to you. Daniel 9, verse 25. Know and understand this, New International Version, from the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there will be seven sevens and 62 sevens. He shares biblically a time clock. And he gives the moment that time clock was to start. And the moment that he starts the time clock is the decree given to rebuild Jerusalem. That decree, as I understand it, and how many of you know, I can only give you what I understand and what I've studied. And I submit this to you, and I have made errors before, but not knowingly. If you're willingly leading people astray, then that's a real problem. I remember preaching things early on as I studied. I thought, ooh, it was a little off right there. Thank God for his blood. Come on, somebody say amen. And thank God for repentance. Amen. That time clock starts in the book of Nehemiah when this decree is given. And there's other decrees given to rebuild the wall and so on and so forth, but he gives a time clock. The exact date of the decree of Artaxerxes, the exact date, we know the exact date. The exact date we know is March 28, 445 BC. That's when the decree to rebuild Jerusalem and the wall was given, prior to Christ. So you count off all the years and you come up with counting from the date, making the necessary corrections for calendar errors, etc. It's determined that April 6, AD 32, Jesus rode into Jerusalem. So when he says in the text, now this can be argued, but in other words, it can be argued on the exact date, but the truth is when Jesus says in the text, this day, he's talking about the day that he would ride into Jerusalem. It is unmistakable from Daniel chapter 9. I mean, you have to work very hard and do all kinds of gymnastics, mental exercises to get around it. There's a couple different ways to look at it, and the date fluctuates a little bit, but clearly Jesus is saying this day. How many of you know he knew what day it was? The anointed one, the ruler, would ride in. Amazing. Come on, somebody ought to say, whoa. So there's these moments. God has a time clock and moments in our lives that come. And I truly believe that we're in a moment like that in history. I truly believe we're in a moment like that in Alaska. I truly believe that God is coming in fresh visitation of his power. And that if we're not aware of it, if you don't know the hour in which we live, you will miss what God wants to do. I don't want to miss my time. Come on, lift your hand to heaven and say, oh God, help me that I would have eyes to see. I don't want to miss what you're doing. I don't want to miss my visitation. Say that. I don't want to miss my visitation. So these divine timings, there's two groups in this text that choose to respond to Jesus in different ways. It's Pharisees and the disciples. Preparing ourselves for God's visitation. Understand and recognize, verse 29 and 30, understand and recognize you're important to God. Listen, whoever told you you're not important, it's not a biblical thing. How would God knit you together in your mother's womb, knows you before you even got there, and then make you insignificant and not important? No, you're important to God. So think about this. Zechariah 9 and verse 9, this prophetic promise of the Messiah. It's a messianic scripture. Jesus fulfilled over 300 Old Testament prophecies. And in this messianic scripture, he's going to ride in on a colt. Can you imagine those two disciples? Can you imagine them? Jesus gets a word of knowledge, tells them where the beast of burden is, and he sends them. And he says that if anybody stops you, just tell them the Lord has need of it. They had no idea that they were fulfilling Zechariah 9. And their role was important. Come on, your role is important. Come on, someone say, I'm important to God. God has something for you to do. And your obedience has significance beyond what you're aware of. I said, God has something for you to do. And your obedience in that has significance far more. You said, well, I'm just building a house. No, you're not. You said, well, it feels that way. That's because you're not understanding that if you're doing what God called you to do as a plumber, as a builder, as a teacher, as a doctor, as a lawyer, as a politician, if you're doing what God called you to do as a preacher, if you're doing what God called you to do as a refiree, I think about Minister Becky as I'm looking at you on the second row. You know, you didn't have to say yes to doing Primrose. Most people would go home and crochet or knit or something or watch a TV show or just relax, not labor on a Saturday night to get a word that you're about to go preach at Primrose to all those beautiful people. Send our love to them. Not do outreaches at a retirement community. But you understand that you have been called by God to do it, and your role It's very significant. Some of you don't understand that you're important to God. I said, you're important to God. Well, I don't feel important. Align your feelings up to the truth. Yeah, God has something for you to do in your obedience. He said, well, I don't know what to do. Well, just stick around. Start serving. It's hard to guide a rocket that doesn't get off the platform. If it doesn't ever launch, how are you going to correct that thing? Just get going. Get serving. Get doing something. There is a time to don't just stand there, do something. And then there is also a time to don't just do something, stand there. But if you don't learn to serve, then it's hard for God to guide you. It's hard for God to direct you. Come on, you're important to God. And so he sends these two disciples. And he's got something for them to do. He's literally fulfilling Zechariah 9. And you have a purpose. Everybody say, I've got a purpose. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. In John 15, I've chosen you, I've appointed you. Come on, someone say, I'm chosen and I'm appointed. That's a legal term. I've chosen and appointed you to bear forth fruit. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for me to bear forth fruit. And that's not just any kind of fruit. It's fruit that remains, which is eternal things. John 15, Ephesians 2:10, right on the screen. For we are God's masterpiece. Come on, say, honey, I'm a masterpiece. Yeah, you're a masterpiece, God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. Come on, somebody say, God's got good things planned for me. He has a purpose for you. It's more than get up, go to work, come home, eat dinner, watch TV, go to sleep. Get up, go to work, come home, eat dinner, watch TV, go to sleep. It's far more than that. There's a divine purpose for you. And second, pardon me, 1 Peter chapter 2, but you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. God's special possession. Come on, somebody say, I'm special. Yes, you are. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You could look at that and say, clearly one of the purposes of being his son, being his daughter, being his chosen people is to declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So I don't know what my purpose is. Well, clearly that's one of your purposes, to declare the praises of him. Come on, somebody praise him this morning. And the second point here is that God's power can bring order to your life. I don't know if you ever rode a green broke. Anybody ever been bucked off of a horse? Anybody ever try to ride a donkey? You ever try to ride something that's never been ridden before? I saw some fool jump on the back of a moose. That didn't work out. That didn't work out real good. He said, what do you mean God brings order to your life? You never see this beast of burden bucking Jesus. I remember I was in a program years ago, and they were talking about, the leadership was talking about the program, and they read this text. It was on, it was around this time of the year. And he read the text and said, so now who do you think the leadership is in this organization? And we're like, Jesus? They're like, no, we're the donkey. King James has another name for it. And no matter what kind of a you are, God can bring order. I said, God can bring order to your life. He can bring peace in the midst of chaos. Some of you just constantly, you just need some order. You need some peace. Donkey of a man, donkey of a woman. And he can bring order to your life. I love that. And the Lord needs you. I love that. It's this word of knowledge they go. And you know what's interesting is I really never saw it until I just read it again. And if anyone asks you. Why isn't it absolute that when they ask you? It could have been that if anyone asks you. There's a variable there. So the owner happens to come out. You know why I believe that is? As I read that, it's not in the notes, but you know, we have a free will. And I think Jesus knew that they were going to look out their window and they would choose to say something or not. And then he just chose, yeah, no, I'm going to say something. And the Lord has the interview. He's like, oh, no problem. If anyone asks you, it's just an interesting thing. How many of you know God knows everything? It's interesting that there's a choice in the midst of that. You have a choice. Come on, somebody say, I have a choice. But no matter how small or great you are, no matter what kind of time, talent, treasure you have, God has need of you. The Lord has need of you. You focus on the Lord has need of me. Say that. The Lord has need of me. And worship Jesus is seen in this text. Now, the traditional text for Palm Sunday is John 12. And I think I'll go ahead and read it here. The next day, the crowd come to the festival. And this is the same story, just told a little bit differently. In the festival, they heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches. Anybody get a palm branch right now? Let me see that palm branch. Would you run me one of those? Thank you, sir. Now, these are a beautiful picture of what? Well, Palm Sunday, and it comes from this text in let me see your palm Sunday. Let me see it. Woo! Hosanna, Hosanna. Okay. I was raised as a Catholic, and I always remember Palm Sunday because of these. And it stayed in my heart. And then when I was born again, I never saw them again. Except on Palm Sunday, I would pass the Catholic church and see people with, you know, and last year I tried to get palms and I couldn't get them. So I went to the Catholic church. I went to the Catholic church on Palm Sunday early. They don't mind early services. So I went there early and I remember coming in the back and it was like you could hear any crinkle or whatever. I mean, I came in a little bit late and I'm like, I just want a palm. I'm going to grab a palm. And I had some people recognize me like, oh, it's Pastor Daniel over there. I'm like, and this lady comes up to me and says, would you like one? I said, yes. Can I have two? You know, yeah, thank you. And I got it, and I just was like, fade, fade, fade. And as I faded, I felt convicted that I just ripped off the church. This is God's honest truth. This is like last year. I thought, oh my God, Jesus, help me. I can't remember if I did it right then or the Sunday after. Yeah, I was convicted. I drove off. I'm like, yes, I got my palm. You know, I got my yes. And I thought, you stole. Christians have a hyperactive conscience. It's a good thing. I went back, I believe, on the next Sunday, and I didn't want to go back in but I saw some people walking, and I saw someone that looked like they were, you know, a righteous person. And so I said, excuse me. And they said, yes. I said, would you put an offering in the plate for me? And this lady says, well, sure I would. And I handed her a $20 bill. And I said, would you just put that in there? And she's like, yes, but you should be going to church too. I said, I am. I pastor a church up the street. And I told her the story. I got one of these palm fronds and I felt like I stole it. And I said, you put that $20 in the offering now. She says, I will. I said, okay, all right. She laughed and I drove off. It's a picture. You know what it is? A picture of revolution. When they were waving those palm fronds, they're like, oh yes, Rome is gonna get booted out of our land and the King of Glory, Hosanna. I mean, they were loud and they were hollering and shouting and waving palms around. It's just beautiful. It's a beautiful picture of what worship should be. Somebody said, I don't believe in banner waving. Well, I don't know, palm waving certainly in there. we should start a palm waving ministry. shouting. They went out to meet him, John 12, shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. And verse 14, it's the same story, but told from a different perspective. Went and found a young donkey sitting on it. See, all of this is a picture of how to praise God from the text that we read, but also from John 12. It's a picture of how to praise God. Let me run that through again. It's a picture of how to praise God. Your attitude should be joyful. You ought to be happy. How come? You were going to hell, and now you're going to heaven. Come on, some of you come in, look like you're baptized in lemon juice. You need to just get over yourself. I might have been guilty of that this morning myself. I need an adjustment this morning. I know I'm not the only one. You should see what I look at sometimes. You should, the poor worship team. And it was just like everything was bothering me. One of the screens almost made me throw up, all of that 3D stuff happening. I'm like, oh my God, Lord. Am I the only one? Okay, maybe. I ran in the back. I said, change the screen. They're like, in the middle of worship? I'm like, yeah. Are you sure? I'm like, no. I'm like, okay. Anyway, I want to change for the next service. But sometimes we have an attitude problem. I said, sometimes we have an attitude problem. It's a picture of being joyful and attitude, action. Look at action, loud voices, clapping, dancing. Look what the Lord has done. Look what, it's loud. People dancing, people clapping. I don't think there's some folks that think there should be no instruments, no sound. You will utterly hate heaven if you make it. Praise binds and looses, Psalm 149, verse 6 through 9. Let the high praises, come on, you see it? Let the high praises of God, what kind of praises? The high praises of God be in their mouth. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. High praises, the word there is tehillah. It's a different kind of, oh Lord, thank you. I love you, Lord. No, it's a braggadocious, lose your ever-loving mind, lift your voice, lift your hands, jump around, scream, shout. It's the high praises. It's not just a little thing that you just go, well, thank you, Jesus. So what does that look like? It looks intense. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the people. It's not talking about specific people here, to bind their kings with chains. There is demon power that comes to bind, that comes to steal, kill, and destroy when you worship God. When you worship with all your heart, with all, not a half-hearted worship. When you worship with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, when the high praises of God are in your mouth, it is then that demon power is bound. That's right. Lift your hands to heaven and praise Him. Come on, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Come on. Hey, yes. The Pharisees are a picture of Satan attempting to stop praise. And there are people that will attempt to stop praise. There's demon power, don't want you to come to church. Look at C, don't harden your heart. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He weeps over the city. Verse 43, sees amazing words. Not one stone will be left on top of another. This is an amazing prophetic word. It's a picture, I think it's a picture also of denominationalism. They build an embankment around you. But it's a picture of what Rome did. And this prophetic word comes to pass about 40 years after these words are spoken. A Roman general, Titus, brings his army in and a prolonged siege on Jerusalem. Eventually they overcome it. And what happens is they set fire to everything. This is history. You know, read it in the text that we read, but this is the prophetic fulfillment of them missing their day, of missing their visitation. They set fire to everything and all the gold of the temple melts, and it melts and it goes inside the stones of the temple floor. And what against Titus's command, they pried the stones up to get the gold out. And not one stone. That's history. This came to pass. History. This prophetic promise, because they missed their time. Don't miss your time. Jesus wept over them because they missed their time. They did not know the time of their visitation. This is the finest hour. You're not promised another day. I'm not promised another day. This is it. Come on, somebody say this is it. Yeah, now I hope and pray and believe that we'll have more days, and I have some promises that I'm standing on because I've not seen the fullness of what God promised me. So I'm contending and believing for 120 years, preaching, praying, prophesying, healthy, divine health, gonna finish my race. But if this was your last day, would you need to do anything? Do you need to call anyone? As I'm saying those words, I'm searching my own heart. I'm good. You? Are you? What happens if this is your last day? Do you need to call someone to tell them you love them? Do you need to repent? Do you need to reach out to that one who's angry at you? You need to pay somebody back? Jesus wept because they missed their time. Their eyes were blind spiritually. Their eyes were blind spiritually. C.S. Lewis, part of the Oxford group, tremendous scholar, in his book entitled The Reluctant Believer, he tells a story of his salvation. He was an atheist. His mother died at a young age. And he was a great scholar and a professor. And so he was invited to go to this university, and he took a train to go to the university, and he was going to do a lecture at the university. And the Lord had been working on him through different writers and Chesterton and different ones. But he was an atheist. He has directions to go to the university, and as he gets off to, he's to get off the train, you look and you'll see the church, the spire, the university spire, and you go there, and then from there we'll meet you. They didn't have phones, they didn't have any of that. He gets off the train, he's walking, and he's like, oh, I don't see the spire. Well, I'll just keep walking a little bit. It's probably on the other side of town. Whatever, keep walking. Still doesn't see it. And he realized, man, I've walked him quite a bit. I should see it. And he has the thought as he's walking, where is the spire? Where is this thing? What? And he turns around, and the spire is on the other side of town. And he says, I was going the wrong way. And the thought comes to him that he knows now is the Holy Spirit saying, you're going the wrong way. You think you see, you think you know, but you don't. You've been blind. And he gets gloriously saved and becomes one of the finest authors and scholars in the 20th century. He was blind. He was deceived. And I have been blind and I have been deceived, and I never want to be that ever again. You can be blind, miss your day of visitation. You can miss it. Stay open to receiving from the Lord. Stay open to God speaking to you, maybe something different. Maybe you don't see clearly. Maybe in your heart you have unforgiveness, or you have something there that's skewing your vision. This has just happened to me. It's just happened. So how did it happen? No real details, inappropriate. But I had a place in my heart that was still needing healing. And so when an event occurred, I perceived it through the lens of something in my life that I needed healing. I thought that had been healed, but how many of you know, as it comes past, if it's still a sting there, you still need healing. And as that happened, I thought, oh God. I repented and I asked him to heal me. The result of missing your God moment is the result of missing your visitation. You're going to miss God's best. You miss His peace, or I should probably say His shalom. Shalom. Peace. The word is the shalom, really. Nothing missing, nothing broken. It's more than peace. It's the full or blessing of God. And if you miss the visitation, you will miss it. I don't want to miss anything. You can experience great loss. I said you can experience great loss. Now, we in this church subscribe to and are aligned with the 16 fundamental truths of the Assemblies of God. We are an Assembly of God church, parent affiliated, sovereign. And a part of our theology, which I certainly agree with, is that you can lose your salvation. There's too many ifs in there, if you continue in your faith, and so on and so forth. That's aligned more with an Arminian viewpoint, not Calvinism. Calvinism is once you're saved, that's it, you're always saved. A Baptist would say, perhaps, I've heard them say this, that, well, if somebody said they received Jesus, but then they continue in their sin, they're really not saved. Or if somebody received the Lord and then they live for God for a while and you can see fruit, you can see proof of their salvation, and then they then no longer serve God and they begin to go back to the very besetting sins that they were in, then they really weren't saved. I don't know what you believe, but I'm going to tell you, I believe that you can have experience. You could lose heaven. I don't want anybody to lose heaven here. He said, well, I don't believe that. You're entitled to believe what you want. You keep coming. I don't want that to get in the way of you serving God. One thing for sure, when we get to heaven, if you make it, we'll know then. Amen. Lift your hands to heaven. Come on, take your palm fronds and wave them in the air and say, glory to God in the highest. Come on, glory to God in the highest. Come on, say, glory to God in the highest. Would you stand up on your feet all across this place as we conclude? Got it? Come on, let's worship God.
Hosanna, in Hosanna, in Hosanna in the highest.
Come on, sing with us. Hosanna.
Oh, Hosanna.
Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
In Hosanna, Hosanna.
Just wave around. It's time for a revolution. A revolution.
In Hosanna.
It's time for overthrowing of evil.
Hosanna.
It's time for the church to take her place. Hosanna.
In Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna in the
high. Say, Pastor, did you get those palms from the Catholic Church? No. But I did get them from a Catholic Church supply house. I think they come from Mexico. Feel free to take one home with you. And I hope you got something from God. We will not. So help us, God. We do not want to miss our day of visitation. We gave you an opportunity to give your heart to Jesus already. If you didn't, won't you do it? Won't you do it? You know, there might be some people online or tuned in just later and some folks that maybe came in later towards the service. You want to give your heart to Jesus for the first time, make a recommitment to Him, or you just want to be assured on this Palm Sunday, pray this prayer right out loud. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die in my place, to rise again from the grave for me. Forgive me of all of my sin and come into my heart. Wash me and cleanse me. Make me new. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. Let me pray for you. Holy Spirit, touch, fill your people. Bless, touch, and fill your people. And oh God, I pray that you would open the eyes of those who might be blind online or listening at a later date. I pray that you'd open our eyes that we would never miss opportunities, divine appointments, kairos moments, visitation through our offense, through our misunderstanding, through our own woundedness. We're important to you, and you've entrusted us with moments like that. May we never miss them. In Jesus' name.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.